Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you on this Friday, September 4th, as we welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Susan Ray. Susan is a faithful member of Mountain Brook Baptist. She grew up at Mountain Brook Baptist. I can't wait for you to hear more about her life and faith at the end of the podcast. But first, she'll read God's Word with us. Thank you, Susan, for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Mary, for having me. Our first passage is John 4, 43 through 54 from the New International Version. Jesus heals an official's son. After the 2 days he left for Galilee, now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 PM, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Our next passage comes from Psalm 55, 1 through 8, and Psalm 55, 16 through 23. For the director of music with stringed instruments, a Maskil of David. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked. For they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, "Oh, that I had wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned from of old, who does not change, he will hear them and humble them, because they have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His talk is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you."
Thank you so much, Susan, for joining the podcast and reading so beautifully for us. We'd like to get to know you better. Where did you grow up? And tell me about your family.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary, for having me. I grew up in Birmingham. I graduated from Mount Brook High School. I am blessed with the two most wonderful parents. So have supported me my entire life, and they are always there for me. I have a younger brother who also graduated from Mountain Brook and grew up in the church. We both grew up at Mountain Brook Baptist Church. My husband is Jeff, and we actually met when I was 15 years old, and we have been married for 30 years. And he is just the most amazing blessing in my life. And we are fortunate to have two children, Mary Douglas, who graduated from TCU a few years ago and works in Fort Worth as an accountant. And then Walker grew up as an Alabama fan, but wanted to play wheelchair basketball at Auburn. And so he will be a senior at Auburn this year and just loves Auburn. And I also have been blessed with the most amazing in-laws. They are so wonderful, and they have been members, longtime members of Mount Brook Baptist Church as well. So
I want to talk a little bit more about Walker's wheelchair basketball, and now I think he may play something else as well. Share with us a little bit about his athletic pursuits.
Sure. So Walker loves sports, and he started playing wheelchair basketball when he was 5 or 6 at Lakeshore Foundation. And so he's played all the way through. And actually, his last year, Lakeshore won the national championship. They played against teams across the country. And so that was great. And he played his first year at Auburn, and then he switched to power soccer now. And last year, Auburn won the power soccer championship.
What is power soccer, and how does it work?
So power soccer is played in a power chair, and it's very strategic. And there's a ball, they play in a gym, and there's a ball in the middle of the gym. And he knows so much about the game, but
I need to have him come and tell
yes,
us more.
You do, because he's really good news. He's met so many different kids from that. That's what's been great about wheelchair basketball and the power soccer. He's met so many kids from across the nation that he sees at different tournaments.
Okay, here's another get to know you. Do you like to cook at home, or are you guys, since your kids are out of the house, do you eat out more? What's your routine?
So since the kids are gone, we just make simple things at home and then eat out a little bit more. But I do love to bake. But I don't do as much of that anymore.
What are a couple of your specialties that your kids ask for?
Sometimes for Walker, I'll make pumpkin muffins. And then Mary Douglas has actually, she's gotten more into cooking, and she's brought home some recipes that we try at home. So that's been really fun. But really, they love, Jeff makes sausage balls. And so when they come home, they really love for Jeff to make sausage balls. So that's been a fun tradition for them.
Okay, I'm kind of skipping around here, but I want to go back to the conversation about how you grew up at Mountain Brook Baptist. Jeff grew up at Mountain Brook Baptist. I'd like to hear more about the legacy of your families being at our church.
Yes, so my grandparents joined the church in the early 60s, I believe. And so my family has attended Mount Brook Baptist just since I was born. I was dedicated here at the church by Dr. Nelson and then baptized here in fifth grade.
Wow.
On Easter Sunday in fifth grade. So my grandmother was a first grade Sunday school teacher for years, and she was really active in the church, and my granddaddy was a life deacon, and he was involved. They were both involved with Builders for Christ and lots of different ministries in the church.
What a wonderful legacy. Okay, the second question I have is, where did you meet Jeff at 15? Were you guys the same age in school or grade in school?
He was a little bit older than me. We kind of knew each other or knew who each other were, but we were both on the same spring break trip. He was with his family and I was with a friend, and so we just connected while we were on that cruise that we were both on. So we just started talking there.
Well, how long did you date? And then when did you get married?
We dated for a long time, for over 10 years. And then we got married. We've been married for 30 years.
Let's move into hobbies. What are some of your hobbies and interests?
Sure. So I just love walking with friends. I love reading. I've gotten really into listen to a lot of audiobooks, just because you can do that anywhere. I love to travel and spend time with my family.
What is an audiobook that you've listened to recently that you liked, even either for the storyline or because the narrator was so wonderful?
The Calamity Club was, and it was over 30 hours, and it was just, I couldn't stop listening. It was really a problem because I could not stop listening to it.
All right, I want to back up to your timeline. So where did you go to college? And tell me a little bit about your profession currently.
Oh, sure. So I went to the University of Alabama, which was great. I loved it. I currently work at Amerax. It is a McWane company that manufactures fire extinguishers as the marketing director. And it's such a great organization. It produces a product that protects people. And then also the company is very committed to giving back to the community and very involved in the community. So that has been a great organization. As a matter of fact, if you walk around the church building, there are Amerax fire extinguishers everywhere. So that's kind of a fun fact.
It is a fun fact. And thinking about working in a place where you know your product is helping people, that's a very unique kind of thing.
It is. It adds purpose and meaning and importance to my work.
You mentioned that Dr. Nelson dedicated you. I want to hear more about your story of faith. How did you come to continue in faith? What was your journey like? And then do you remember anything about your baptism?
I can't remember a time that I didn't come to church. And so I am very fortunate that just growing up in the church and coming to Vacation Bible School and Sunday school, just learned about the Lord early. I can remember having a friend over, and we were in the basement when I was 5 years old. And she asked me if Jesus was in my heart. And I thought he was, but I really didn't know. So she turned out the lights so that we could make sure that Jesus was in my heart. So that's my first memory. And then I was baptized on Easter Sunday when I was in fifth grade. And I can vividly remember that. And then my children were baptized by Dr. Mobies as well. So that was kind of special.
So you were baptized by Dr. Mobies and also your kids?
Yes, both of them. So that's really special.
So special. What is something that you have especially enjoyed about being part of Mountain Brook Baptist?
Well, I think for me, being a part of Mountain Brook Baptist, the history here, when I walk through certain rooms or I'm in certain spots of the church, memories come back to me of being with my friends in the youth group or sitting with my grandparents in church or things like that. So that's really special. And I also think of the legacy, the little things that I'm doing for the church day by day. One day, someone's going to be sitting in the church, and the things I've done are going to have an impact on lives in the future. So that's really important to me.
That is beautifully said, that the ways that we serve, hopefully, are just paying it forward to the next generation. Several of the ways that you serve in many ways, but one is on the communion committee and also with the card ministry team. Would you comment on those ministries?
Sure. So with the card ministry, we also get the prayer list and send cards to folks going through a tough time. And that, I really love that ministry. What drew me to it was when I was younger, I had a friend going through a difficult time. And every time she couldn't sleep or was having a hard time, she would pull out a box of cards that people had written her. And so I think of that every time I write a card and I'm praying over someone, that I hope it will bless them in the same way. We also send cards to celebrate new babies. And so hopefully that ends up in a baby book and a child one day will know that when they were born, their church was praying for them and excited about their birth. I also am on the communion committee, and that committee is led by Britt Redden and Kelly Moffitt, and they are the most organized, get-it-done people, and they make it all run smoothly. So I just come a few Sundays a year and help set up for communion. So that has been great to be part of that committee.
Well, I want to reiterate what Wayne says. You know, we're doing this once a month, and it just doesn't happen. We're so grateful for the women and men who have prepared the communion elements since the inception of the church, and now maybe even a little more every month doing that for both services. So thank you. Are there specific services or anything memorable from your youth days that you would share with us?
Sure. A couple of things come to mind. One thing I just remember being in the youth group, we would always sit in the front of the church as a group. And I remember being an elementary school kid and seeing the youth group kids all sitting in the front together and couldn't wait to be old enough to sit in the front. So that was a fun memory to just all be together. And then the Christmas Eve service is so special. It's my favorite service of the year.
Growth groups are such an important part of our model of discipleship here. Tell me about a growth group you've been a part of and how it has been a meaningful experience to you.
Christy Parrott leads a Bible study with a group of us from our Cornerstone Sunday School class, and that has been so meaningful. Christy is such a great teacher and really gets you thinking, and she's incredible. And then we are all going through so many of the same things together, and so we pray for one another, and that has been that's a really meaningful time. Christy has had such an influence on my faith. She started teaching our Cornerstone Sunday School class when the kids were really young, and just her testimony and her teaching and her interpretation of God's word really had an impact on me and on my life. So I'm very thankful for her.
Is there a verse that you find particularly meaningful?
So there's so many that are so meaningful to me, but one that immediately comes to mind with that question is Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. It just reminds me of my grandmother used to say that to me all the time. And I just think about it in everything that I'm doing in my daily task. Am I working for the Lord? And am I doing things in a way that would be pleasing to Him? I think about it when I wake up in the morning, everything that I have to do for the day, and days get so busy. And it just reminds me to stop and be more intentional with my day and be more intentional with the things that I'm doing and making sure that everything I'm doing is bringing honor to the Lord.
Thank you so much, Susan, for joining the podcast and reading so beautifully. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Yes. Thank you so much, Mary, for having me. Yes, I will be glad to end this in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word and for meeting us in the in-between moments, in between our prayer request and when our prayers are answered. Please be with the ministries of our church today and in the future as we grow together in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.